This is so critically important because you're going to worship someone, something. Everybody does. But I'm telling you, people are finding any number of things to worship today. Now, the only one worthy, I'll tell you straight up, is God Almighty, the one we've been singing about, the God of this Bible this morning.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
Let's go into a new series with Pastor Rogers. This is I Worship. This is part one from that series. Watch where I end up. Let's go into the message today.
It is thought that in every field, from publishing to factory work, will eventually be dominated by intelligence robots as men and women become increasingly obsolete. The novelist Dan Brown, the writer of the Da Vinci Code, you recall, previously warned people, warned that people may no longer worship God or pray to Jesus, instead putting all their faith in an AI Messiah. Speaking about the advent of this technology, the writer, Dan Brown, said, quote, "Humanity no longer needs God, but may, with the help of artificial intelligence, develop a new form of collective consciousness that fulfills the role of religion." In this article, it goes on to cite their opinions, their thoughts, that people will eventually roll over to worship artificial intelligence. In fact, that it's already happening. I can see it very easily taking place. It is the spirit of the Antichrist. All you got to do is look around, and you look down your row this morning, and someone might be watching Netflix while I'm preaching, God forbid. If they are, stare them down. Because I can tell you, my friends, we're more addicted to it than what we think. And in every house, there is that artificial intelligence that we're becoming more and more accustomed to. In fact, some folks are so attached to it that they can't drive a car. They can't function without it in their hand, in their face all the time. I love how you shout me down. I'm talking about worship this morning. So let me make it plain for you. You can't worship what you don't know. You can never worship beyond your knowledge of a person or a thing. And the more that you appreciate something, the greater value or worth you put on that thing. Which is the word that we get worship from, worth-ship. That's the foundational word, worth-ship, where we get worship from. Something that's worthy of worship, we constitute it as high-valued and we move it to the top. Now, some people, even in this building today, don't think that they have to worship. And if they do, then they don't think it takes all of that hand lifting and shouting and clapping and so forth. But I do believe that if you went to a restaurant and ordered a steak and you said, "I want it well done," and they bring it out there to you raw and slap it down, you say, "Excuse me, that's not what I ordered. And I ordered a baked potato. I don't want the asparagus. And by the way, I'd like a fork and spoon with that. I need something to eat this with besides my fingers. And beside that, I wanted sweet tea, not unsweetened tea." After a while, you wouldn't pay for it if you placed an order and it didn't show up the way. I mean, if you ordered it again and they brought it back up and it was still running red with blood inside of the meat and they brought you some fries instead of a baked potato. Excuse me, I didn't order it that way. After a while, your frustration level will rise to a whole new place. Because if you keep ordering something and it doesn't come back the way you ordered it, it's unacceptable. I know you're afraid to say amen right now. I know you're afraid to say amen. There are some folks in this building, God has ordered worship from all of us. We're going to worship someone, and God has ordered it so much that he has laid down the pattern and the plan. You need to understand that it involves your mouth. It will be vocal. It involves the visual. It involves your hands lifted and your hands clapping. And sometimes it involves the dance in your feet and other times. But he says, let me summarize that for you. If you're going to worship me, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. And you got to do it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, for those of you that are looking at me saying it doesn't take all of that, then whatever you do, don't go back to your ball game again. Because I've seen how some of you act when your team loses. I can't get no help in here right now. I can't get no. But I'm telling you, for those of you that think that you don't have to worship, just look at your neighbor, tell him you're the one he's preaching to this morning. You're the one that he's preaching. Y'all scared right now. You're scared in here. You're scared. Yeah, yeah. Well, all I need to say right now, pause for this commercial. I'm back. Yeah, you got your evangelist. Now your pastor's coming. If you don't appreciate it, if you don't appreciate it, take care of it, then by default, it will automatically depreciate, devalue, lose its value. It makes no difference if you go out and buy a brand new car. If you don't take care of that brand new car, sitting by itself out in the weather, out in your carport, it will continue to depreciate until it becomes a bucket full of rust. You have to appreciate what you put a high value on. And people are doing that today. On my way here, their appreciation value for going to church was low on the Richter scale, but jogging was on a high level and high value. You can always tell those that are just weekend joggers. They jog to the stop sign, stop, walk a little while. They got all the equipment. They put a high value on what it is to take care of their body, but their spiritual man is depreciating day by day. I am concerned. Now, I'm going to do a little surgery here. I am concerned that much that we call worship in the modern church has become idol worship. Let me explain. It is the preoccupation with the means rather than the end. In other words, the end is more important than the means. And one person coined it that when the pattern is right, the glory will fall. The glory of God, how many of you would say that the glory of God is the ultimate end, to see people get saved, healed, delivered, set free from whatever addiction, whatever problem is going on in their life, to see the glory of God manifest, the prosperity, the blessings of the Lord is the ultimate end of where God wants us to be. How many of you would agree with that? Say a good amen. If that is the end and we don't arrive at that place when we gather together to call it worship, then have we only then worshiped the means rather than the end? The glory of God is always preceded by the presence of God. You can't have the glory without the presence. But the presence of God does not necessarily mean that the glory has arrived. The glory is the manifestation, the revealed manifestation of God. The presence of God, many times people are satisfied with. Oh, I just want to be in the presence. And I understand a lot of times people are saying and have an understanding of the presence of God. But we're in the presence of the Lord here. We're in the presence of other people. But unless that you and I have an interaction and we get closer, then there's been no glory revealed between the two of us. Come on, somebody. If I don't personally speak to you and get closer to you, then you and I can't have glory revealed. You might have a testimony you want to tell me about or something going on. And as long as you're in the presence, we're in the presence of one another, but that doesn't mean we've experienced the glory of one another. Are you hearing me? And too many times, churches today, even people that call at worship, only enter into the presence and they are good with that feeling. And they're good with that effect, but they fall short of the glory because they won't go further in. Because the closer you get to God, the more you falls away. The more self has to stay outside. I wish I had some help. Something in you, something on you has got to fall away the closer you get to God. So therefore, many people are willing to come up into the tantalizing presence of God. But to get closer to God means less of me. So I'll stay here on the perimeter and feel the presence of the Lord, but the glory I've not yet experienced. What a horrible thing to get that close to God and not encounter God face to face. Especially when the Lord has I feel the Spirit of God coming now. Especially when the Lord, hanging on the cross, ripped from top to bottom the veil so that you and I could have anytime, any place, anywhere, 2:00 in the morning, 4:00 in the afternoon, 7:00 in the morning, we can have access into the very presence of God and to experience the glory of God. He said, there's no veil between me and you. If you want to get into my presence, just begin to lift me up in worship and I will come down and inhabit the praise. I'll sit down. We'll get close. And this may be very controversial about what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to tell you, many churches have what they call worship experiences when it's nothing more than the singing of a song and people go out having been stimulated, but they're not pregnant with the glory of God. When the glory arrives, miracles happen. When the glory arrives, signs and wonders take place. I read before when I got up this morning, and you may have seen it too on the news, in a church in California now. Now, you know something's happening when the news media, secular news media, began to pick up on the stories of miracle signs and wonders and posted the x-ray of the man who had a tumor inside of his brain. But his church got together and prayed the prayer of faith and the tumor disappeared and the news media said, this is a miracle. Can I tell you, that is not supposed to be uncommon. That is supposed to be the common experience of a church who refuses to play around on the outside in the presence but steps inside of the full glory of God and say, Lord, have your way. Don't let us leave until we've seen the glory of God. Anybody want to see the glory of God? Look at your neighbor and tell him, watch where I end up. Yeah, watch where I end up. And since God inhabits the praises of his people, our praise and our worship is actually an expression of our knowledge and experiences with God. When the means, the song, the music becomes more important than the end, he spoke of it this morning, a golden calf. When the means becomes more important than the end, the glory of God, then the purpose of God is lost. Who would show up at a restaurant, walk in the door and go, boy, I sure am hungry. Okay, we'll see y'all. Come on, somebody. How would you like the doctor to walk in the room and say, well, you look sick. See you later. Wait. Hold it. The purpose of me calling you was because I needed you. The reason why I have asked you to visit is because I needed you. And let me just say this to you before I forget it. I hear the Holy Ghost saying to me, this is what's been in my spirit now for several weeks. I don't want a visitation of God to Pace Assembly. I want a habitation of God at Pace Assembly. Anybody up for that this morning? I want to hear from my church because only those who are going to worship are going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I'm tired of pumping up people who ain't got no praise on the inside. When you come in the door, you should step in with a praise on your lips because God has been good to you.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.